Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. Joining us for the second time this week, Lindsey Crosby, joining us not on a Monday. How are you?
You know, I'm doing better than I think our boys are right now.
Yeah.
I've had better Tuesdays. I'll put it that way.
I get that. Hopefully, as most of you are listening on a Wednesday, it is better. First thing, though, you know, about an hour before Lindsey and I sat down to record this, we got the news that John Madden had passed away, the legend himself, from a broadcasting standpoint, from a football mind standpoint. And obviously, you know, he's got one of the most successful game franchises named after him. I mean, I don't know. I'm about to get emotional talking about it. But thank you so much to John Madden for everything he did, and you know, prayers directed towards his family for sure.
Yeah, not many people could qualify for the Hall of Fame as a coach and as a contributor, and then again as somebody who, you know, who like broadcaster, and then again with the video game.
Totally.
Just how much he impacted the NFL, just over 50 years, and definitely one of the Titans and all Mount Rushmore of the NFL.
Yep. We're
going to miss him.
Yep. If you are listening to the show, you probably love football. And so he made football better. All right. Not good football. Auburn lost to Houston in the Birmingham Bowl, 17-13. And before I jump into the two different storylines that you can really take from this game, Lindsey, Protective Life Stadium, that was my first time going.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, beautiful from the outside. Walking around on the inside, it's good. But the Birmingham Bowl staff as a whole, like, they've got a long way to go. They've got a long way to go. A lot of the technical stuff didn't work. Their stats didn't update to like the second half. Sound was an issue. And then seeing a lot of folks talking about concessions, like people literally spent their like a whole quarter of the game like in line at the concessions. And so we'll see. And traffic afterwards was a nightmare. So it's like,
yeah,
the stadium is beautiful, but I think they were surprised when it's like, oh, it actually can't handle the capacity when it's packed out.
But yeah.
Whatever.
The game day experience around it, they have to figure out how to do that in the new stadium.
Yeah,
is what you're
and Birmingham's doing such a good job with that downtown area, building it out. So hopefully they continue to do that. But yeah, so two stories, right? The offense is not going to work the way it currently is. And the other is the future of Auburn's defense, to me, I think is going to be just fine. In the past, I have said that I was more worried about the defense for Auburn's 2022 team than the offense. I was wrong on that. So let's talk about the offense first. Is TJ Finley the answer at quarterback? I don't think
so.
I don't think he is anymore. And I was in the camp, Lindsey, of, well, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, wiggle room for him to like find success outside of TJ Finley. So, you know, how many guys, you know, how much is it TJ Finley's fault if the receivers aren't playing well and the offensive line is beat up and the scheme doesn't really get guys open? But there were dudes that got open and he missed them. Now, he made three or four really impressive throws, but some of the gimme ones were like, okay, you know, that probably should have been a touchdown, or that probably should have been a first down. And so that it wasn't a good look for me.
Yeah, and the offensive line, he didn't have a ton of time back there. The official stats, I think, were one sack and three hurries. So on paper, it seems like it was fine. But in reality, you could tell the pocket wasn't clean. He had a muddled pocket and things like that. But even in that situation, you can still see the quarterback doing what they need to do to be successful. And you could extrapolate, well, if that blocking was better, that would have worked. And he right. wasn't doing those basic things. We saw him miss guys high. We saw him miss guys low. We saw him just make wrong reads, miss wide open guys in the flat or a dump off. And I mean, at this point, you're going to have people who are going to come out and say he didn't get a lot of practice time throughout the season or a lot of play time, and it's a bad offensive situation.
Which is factual. That is true.
That is true. That is true. But I think we've seen enough to know that barring some sort of amazing post, like a off-season change, DJ Finley ain't it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think the question is, like, is there a dude that's ready? Because, I mean, Grant Loy was the backup. Like, there was no chance we were going to see D. Davis throughout that game because there was opportunities to pull him. But I love TJ Finley, but Andrew Stanley, he's one of our mods in the Locked On Auburn Discord. He was killing me with some of the stuff he was putting in the Discord, and I wrote down two of them. One is, he said, when TJ Finley drops back, God flips a coin. Because you just never know what's going to happen. That killed me. I was sitting in the press box, and I just legit chuckled. And then a few drives later, he said, Finley going to get off the bus at Kohl's and get hired as a mannequin.
I saw a thing. Somebody asked, which is the bigger statue in Birmingham, TJ Finley or the Vulcan?
Oh, my
statue.
Gosh. That's funny, too. That's funny, too. So
it's...
Yeah, go ahead, Lindsay.
Sorry. I would a transfer quarterback have given Auburn a chance to win in the bowl game? Like, is there a guy in the portal now who we can say if you plugged right. him into this offensive situation, we would have won this game?
Yeah.
And
right. What do you think the answer to that is? Yes?
I mean, there's guys with talent in the portal, and I'd like to think that in this situation, like TJ, there was enough plays there that TJ Finley could have made that he did not make. That if you can assume an average level of competence from a transfer quarterback, I think enough of those plays go the other way to win the game. And if you'd asked me before the game, was that the case? I probably wouldn't have said yes. But having watched right. it play out, two or three throws here or there, that's a different game offensively for Auburn.
Yes, and you can say that with all of the games that he started and lost. You can say that. Yeah. With South Carolina, you can say that with Alabama, and now you can say that with the Birmingham Bowl. And at some point, you got to cut it off. Is 3 or 4 weeks of practice enough to validate all of that? I don't know. But all of a sudden now, and it's like the Auburn fan base had a revelation halfway through the fourth quarter. Oh, that's why he didn't pull Bo Nix. Which now, it's even more fascinating why he pulled them against Georgia State. Like, that's crazy to me. Because, I mean, he sees this every day. And once again, I don't want to dog TJ Finley because I like TJ Finley, and I think Finley has good traits. I really, really do. But there were some key moments there where it's like, that wasn't really a practice thing. That was just a throw you should have been able to make. And it's like, I think Holden Gariner could probably have made some of those throws that he missed. Is that being too harsh? Maybe. Possibly. The offense went away from Tank late again. They went to him a good bit early. I think they did a good job running him outside and kind of a lot of off-tackle stuff because they were not winning the battle on the inside of the offensive line. The drop-off, Lindsay, of Nick Broms to Jaleel Irvin was significantly more drastic than I thought it would be.
I did not see that coming. I will eat crow on that. I thought, and we made the jokes about, you know, preseason all SEC Nick Broms and you know, he's not that good. But Jaleel Irvin, like you can tell, he just has not had the reps as the guy
right.
in live fire situations. He's mm-hmm. been a backup for years, and you can tell there was frequently you'd see a extra rusher right at the middle because he would turn the wrong direction and block the wrong way. And never thought I would say I missed Nick Broms.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. And then my last note for offense before we move on, John Samuel Shanker broke the reception record for tight ends as well as the yardage record for tight ends in a single season in Auburn history. Congrats to him.
And I think was also the first Auburn tight end to ever get a jet sweep. That was cool.
That was weird.
Yeah, it's 1 yard.
It's like, could we have gotten into Tank one more time? Like, probably. I think that makes a little more sense. And I love Shanker,
Georgia.
But
yeah, Georgia's been running that, but they have that Bruce Bowers kid that's a freak. He's not a standard tight end.
Yes.
That jet sweep may have worked with a guy like Landon King, but I just don't think John Campbell Schenker was the right guy to give it to him on a jet sweep.
Yeah, and you're seeing that more at all levels of football with the tight end. Like, I'm a Pats fan, obviously, if you look around me on the YouTube video. But they do it this year, like, with Jonnu Smith. But, like, Jonnu Smith is, like, just a big receiver. That's all he is. So, that's not Schenker. It is Landon King. So, yeah, I think you're right on that. But congrats to him. Hot take. I bet he breaks them both again next season.
I think he's coming back. I think he'll probably challenge both those records again next year. Unless one of these other tight ends steps up huge in the spring and just forces the issue of I'm getting his playing time.
Yeah, just timeshare or whatever. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Today's show brought to you by the best tasting protein bar ever. Yes, I'm talking about Built Bar. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in that plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which normally has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. It's not even comparable, folks. And they taste great. Be sure to check it out, all of it, at Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's at Built.com. All right, Lindsey Crosby, let's talk about some of the defense. Essentially, Auburn's whole second team was playing defense. It really felt like that over the course of the game, especially after Smoke Monday and Jalen Simpson both got ejected for targeting, which let's just talk about Smoke Monday for a second. Tip of the cap to both Smoke and Chandler Wooten for them playing their last games at Auburn. But Smoke... So I initially felt really bad for him when his career just ended just like that off of an aggressive play. And then people quickly corrected me to saying, no, it's an extremely fitting way for Smoke Monday to go out. He didn't seem too upset about it on the sidelines. So you know what, Smoke? I kind of love that you went out that way. It's very memorable and it's very symbolic of how Smoke Monday played.
Yeah, there's no other way Smoke Monday's career was going to end other than an ejection for targeting on the second try, second time they looked at it. He was fated to get kicked out of that game. And man just popped on some sunglasses, hung out on the sideline.
While they were reviewing it, he's just like dancing and laughing on the sideline. It's like, okay, he's not too worried about it.
And it's something, I mean, he just hung out on the sideline the rest of the game. Like, what are you going to do? Suspend him again? He's going pro. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, so it blows my mind. The thing that got him was an interception return. And then Jalen Simpson obviously getting got by the quarterback there on a slide.
How ridiculous is it that as my understanding of how the rule currently sits, and they're looking at reviewing this over the offseason, but as it currently sits, he will miss the first half of the season opener next year.
You should just make him sit out all of A-Day. Like, just say, you miss your spring game.
That's it.
But the fact that he has to miss is cool, simply because... Like, why does it carry over to the next season? That doesn't make a lot. I mean, it's a whole different situation. Here's a question. If he transferred, would he have to sit out the first half at his new school?
Yes.
Do we know that?
That is my understanding of the rule. Yes.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, but whatever.
If he went to Georgia, they're used to guys missing the first half of the first game.
Yeah, so they still schedule anybody. Well, this year they scheduled Clemson, which looked really good at the time, but yeah.
Yeah.
Romello Height, he missed a big potential sack on Toon, which their quarterback looks really good, by the way. Paxton Toon, yeah.
Can we have him?
Is he entering the portal? That'd be fantastic. That'd be great. He's better than TJ Finley, right?
Right now.
Yeah.
He's won more games in Alabama than TJ Finley has.
Does Georgia State not count?
No, that's one. He's won another. He played, I think, Troy and beat Troy. So he's won two games in Alabama. And Finley's only won one in his career.
But yeah. Romello Height he missed a key sack. But outside of that, like, I liked what I saw with Romello Height. I have a man crush on him, so that's fine. With Marquise Burks out, We saw Garrison Walker get some snaps early, and he made his presence known. Look, I mean, the defense as a whole, after that first drive, was really, really good. And then it kind of shifted to this bend, don't break, and then they figured out what they were doing, and they did such a good job of limiting them. And then that last drive, I mean, they just kind of figured it out. But they did good. I think Roe Torrence could be a player. You know, I've talked about him a lot. Cam Riley got some real reps at linebacker. I thought he looked really good out there next to Chandler Wooten. And so that kind of tells, that kind of tells me he's probably going to be the next linebacker. So he's very athletic. He is very, very fluid in his movements. So that's kind of what stood out to me on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Joka Willis got some run. I thought he would do more with his snaps than he did. And that was, he just didn't show up a lot other than I think one, I just remember him missing a play. You know, like missing a run fit one time, kind of memorably. We had to put in some, like a walk-on in the defensive backfield towards the end of the game. And does Drayshon Miller just not exist anymore?
What is up with that?
I am amazed that we have not seen him all season. I thought by this game, at the bowl game, after you lost two defensive backs to targeting and had another one opt out, I thought maybe you'd see Drayshon Miller in the rotation then. But he just, he may be a ghost. He may not actually be a real person.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's a crazy one. And there were reports coming out that he looked good in bowl practices. So it's like, okay, sweet. Maybe he's got a shot. But yeah, I don't think, I don't fully know his situation because I think he has 1 year left of eligibility. But he can't transfer. So, or like, cause that would take a year for him to do that. Cause he already uses free transfer. So
if he graduates, he can transfer. Now, as I understand, he's not on pace to graduate by the fall, but if he were to graduate the end of spring or summer, he could do a grad transfer. But I don't believe he's on pace to do that.
I see. Okay. How is he not? That's crazy. I wonder if credits didn't move over from his previous
West Virginia.
Spot. Yeah, West Virginia to here. I don't know. I think it's really cool that Chandler Wooten ended his career getting that interception. I think that was really awesome. You could tell how excited he was and how excited the team was for him. I love that. I absolutely loved seeing that.
And Harsin had some great quotes after the game, just talking about Smoke Monday, about Chandler Wooten especially, about how he stepped up, about how, you know, he's always welcome back at Auburn. He's the epitome of an Auburn man. And so, you know, I'm really happy for Chandler Wooten that he got to make it back to the team this year, have an impact, and then go out the way that he did.
Right.
I mean.
Sweet. Yep. Absolutely. All right. I got a few things, a few quick hitters about what this game means going forward in just a moment. Today's show brought to you by our friends at BetOnline.ag. Look, plenty of bowl games still out there, and BetOnline has you covered every step of the way they remain your number one spot for all sports action this season. Head to the website, BetOnline.ag. You can use your phone, you can use your computer, whatever. Just go to BetOnline.ag, and to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, Lindsay, I've got three quick hitters about moving forward. What does the game mean for the program moving forward? So the first one, I loved how Javarius Johnson handled punt returns. Not a huge punt return, but there were several short ones, and he would come up 20 to 25 yards and go get it. In the past, we've seen Auburn let it bounce, and that's resulted in terrible things. Flashback to Columbia, South Carolina a few weeks ago. But I loved that. I thought that was a really, really good thing. That meant a lot to me. And especially when it was a lot lower scoring than we were expecting it to be, field position became a big deal, and Houston ultimately won because of field position with turnovers and things like that. So I think that was worth noting. I liked Harsin's play calling an absolute ton. I loved him running tank more. At least it felt like he ran tank more. I love that he attacked the edges of the defense because that's where Auburn had the best chance of succeeding. It felt different, similar style, but it felt different than what we've seen throughout the season. So I liked that, with the exception of it was third and two. You knew it was going to be your last drive of the game, and you got two chances to go 2 yards, and you don't go with Tank Bigsby. And it's like, yeah, you run out of time. You want the clock to keep running. But it's like, you still had, it was like 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Like, you still had plenty of time to get that first down. So that, to me, was curious. And I know for a fact on the fourth down play, Hunter was in. Tank wasn't even in. I don't think Tank was in on the third down play either, but I cannot confirm that. So, once again, it's one of those situations, like, when the game matters most, it's Jarquez Hunter that's in there, not Tank, which is not the first time we've seen that this year. Very, very odd. My third takeaway, Lindsey, is there's no way Auburn's wide receiving group gets worse next season. Demetrius Robertson will be gone. I believe Shedrick Jackson will be gone. And I just think you're going to see other dudes step up. I think Kobe Hudson is, one, a natural wide receiver. Can't stress that enough.
So natural.
But, I mean, that guy has a chance to be an absolute dude in the SEC. If he keeps doing what he's doing, and, like, he's almost kind of turned the corner several times throughout the season, and then, you know, something would happen the following game or later, you know, the next drive or whatever it may be. But what a great game for him to end it on. And I think he can use this to kind of be the dude moving forward throughout the offseason and kind of use that experience and this performance to be a leader this offseason and kind of help some of these other guys come in, which is going to be really, really cool to see. He also went to social media Tuesday night saying, hey, I'm paraphrasing here, but hey, guys, leave my quarterback alone. You know, TJ Finley's my quarterback, which is, I guess, something a leader would do is defend his guy. But yeah, so I said a lot there. You can either add more quick hitters or comment on any of the things I just said, Lindsey.
Yeah, the running game thing, we've seen this a few times now, yeah. And I was kind of watching for this, and it felt like Hunter got four of his five carries in the fourth quarter, so it kind of felt like when he substituted early in the fourth and put Hunter in there, you know, maybe Harsin was going for fresh legs, and Tank never really had a chance to kind of get back into the game flow by the time, you know, we got to the end of the game. But two carries for 9 yards in the fourth quarter is unacceptable.
Right.
It's not going to cut it. Right. You have to run Tank Bigsby more. And I know he got the ball plenty early, and the aggregate stats look fine, but you have to give Tank Bigsby the ball. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you did not have a lot of interior offensive line push. That's fine. Right. Find ways to work the ball outside. But you saw all game, passing the ball wasn't working that well. So mm-hmm. on the pivotal conversions, find a way to either shorten the throws or get the ball to Tank Bigsby somehow in space. I did have some notes real quick on one. I love that we let the kids play. It's the defense. And there was a great tweet today. I can't think of who it was. Somebody from On3 just listed everything that Auburn had lost. You lost an All-American at cornerback. They like all of these things. And yeah. Auburn's defense played great.
They did.
Held Houston to almost 30 points under their season average for points.
That's crazy.
So love that. But yeah. Harsin did have a quote. He said, we've got a lot of work to do. And he was talking about roster-wise, getting guys in the room. But I kind of think he was talking about the quarterbacks as well. Like, they have to, and those two things go together. It is portal season. Right now, you have to figure out the quarterback room, because what you have now is obviously not good enough. And unless you think Holden Gariner can come in as a true freshman and legitimately compete in the SEC West, you've got to figure out what guy can you go out and get. Is it a Brock Vandergriff from Georgia? Mm-hmm. His girlfriend plays soccer at Auburn. Maybe it's him. Wow. Is it somebody else who's not in the portal yet? You got to find someone. And then just the last kind of takeaway that I had is you've got to rework the targeting rule. You mentioned they're going to talk about, does suspension carry over to the next year in the offseason? But you've got to work on the targeting rule and try to find some way to give them the ability to discern intent from incidental contact. And I know that they review this, but they review to see, does it meet the letter of the rule as to what targeting is? If it does, he's gone. You have to find a way to say, okay, you know, the offensive player lowered his head, and that's why the helmets collided. He wasn't trying to blow him up. We're going to give him some leeway there. I was honestly surprised that first targeting flag got picked up, and not because it shouldn't have been picked up. It should have been picked up. I just never expect these things to actually follow what common sense says you should do. So that was a pleasant surprise, only for them to turn around and get me later. Yeah.
Nice. But all in all, a really, really poor showing, especially for the offense. I think it's how a lot of people are going to see this. I mean, you go 6-7. Auburn has had a losing season since 2012. You know, with all the controversy and conversation that happened this time a year ago with, you know, was it time to let Gus Malzahn go and all that? And I think for the greater good it was, and I think most people feel confident saying that now, but it's like he went 8 years in the SEC without a losing record, and that's very, very hard to do. It's extremely hard to do. Now, on the other side of the coin is, okay, the roster is at its current state because of Gus. And so did Harsin do the absolute most that he could? And if guys stay healthy, if his quarterback stays healthy, you probably win two more games, and one of those is Alabama. So I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you can take what happened over the last several months of this season, and specifically what happened Tuesday in Birmingham. But got to move on, and I think Harsin is going to be good at attacking the portal. We've already seen him get Jason Jones, the defensive tackle from Oregon. He's got to get more dudes. He's got to get more bodies, and he's got to fill out this roster because, man, there is a ton of holes in this roster.
Mm-hmm. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, we saw last year a lot of defensive transfers, and Derek Mason really built his defense. And for the most part, that worked. And the defense played as well as they needed to keep us in most games this year. I don't remember a game where we just got blown out of the water with, you know, where we couldn't stop them at all.
Mississippi State.
Okay, there's that.
Yeah.
But you have one every year. But other than that, the defense played well enough to keep us in most of these games. And so we did the defense thing with the portal last year. Let's do the offense thing with the portal. I mean, this team probably needs to go out and find two or three offensive linemen who can either start or compete for starting jobs. Ideally, they need to find a number one wide receiver. You've had a lot of number twos. Kobe Hudson, like you said, he's kind of on the cusp. He's been on the cusp a couple times and hasn't really turned the corner all the way. He's so natural at being a wide receiver, and he's so close to being a number one wide receiver.
Lindsay, just real quick, if I wanted a shirt that just said natural wide receiver on it, where could I go to get one?
I think the best place to go would be aushirts.com.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Got it. And then you've got to find a guy to give you a starting option at quarterback. And I'm not saying starting option that nobody here can do it, but you have to bring in another option because we don't know if anybody in this room can do it, but I think we do know TJ Finley cannot.
Lindsey Crosby, where can people find you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball, new Twitter handle. I'll tell you more about that next week, as well as check out my stuff at aushirts.com.
Sweet. You can follow me on Twitter at Z Blackerby, show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn, and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Auburn.